What's up, Bulls Nation? You found yourselves Locked On Bulls. I'm Matt, joined by my co-host, Big Dave. Up ahead on today's episode, we have yet another COVID protocols update for the Bulls. Could be good news overall as they look to finally make their way clear of this. We'll take a look at the Bulls' second part of this two-game miniseries against the Atlanta Hawks on Wednesday night. And then in the back half of the episode, we'll talk about the DeMar DeRozan appearance on the Knuckleheads podcast. That's all ahead on a fresh Locked On Bulls. Let's go.
You are Locked On Bulls, your daily podcast on the Chicago Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Here are your hosts, Matt Peck and Big Dave Watson.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls_Peck. You can follow my co-host Big Dave Watson at BAL, B-A-W-L Sports. You can follow us at Locked On Bulls. And also, that text line is always there for you, our fellow Bulls fans, at 331-979-1369. And we thank you for making Locked On Bulls your first listen every day. Big Dave, I'm still down here in the heart of Texas, baby. How are things up in the Windy City?
Windy City is solid. I mean, you know,
we're going through COVID. I heard you guys finally got some snowfall, right?
Yeah, it did. And then it went away immediately today. So that's the best snow I like. So yeah, it's been awesome. I barely see any snow outside. Yeah, it's great. That's the snow I like. You come, you show up, and then you leave.
Right. It's pretty for a day, and then it's gone.
Yeah, exactly. You know, everybody's happy. You pleased everyone, and right. I'm not angry that I have to go outside and shovel mountains of snow. So, yeah, great. Awesome.
Right. Well, if you can tell whoever you need to tell to make sure there's no snow on the, you know, on the Chicago ground when I get home tomorrow, that'd be great. I'd really appreciate it.
I'm on it, Matt. I'll make calls right away.
I was pushing my nieces on the swings this morning out in the backyard, and I was sweating. At like 9 a.m, I was sweating. It's about 78 and muggy at the early hours of the morning here in Texas. But hey, I'm not complaining. All right. So, we do have a little bit of updates with the Bulls and COVID. The second round draft pick, Marko Simonovic from last year, who has not seen a whole lot of the floor this season with the Bulls, although he has gotten some games under his belt with Windy City, went into protocols earlier today. Simonovic becomes the 17th Bulls player to enter protocols for the Bulls this season.
Lord.
Only Alex Caruso, Tyler Cook, who's on the two-way, and hardship exception signee Mac McClung have spared being entered into protocols as far as the entirety of Bulls are concerned this season. Billy Donovan remains in protocols. So, I mean, Big Dave, do you kind of look at this, considering most of these cases among these players are asymptomatic or very mild cases, that the Bulls are almost finally out of the woods, so to speak? Like, there's a light at the end of the tunnel?
I mean, I think that's the only way I can look at it. And I'm not looking at that to be just blindly optimistic. I'm just looking at, you know, the fact of what's going on. Like, everybody has gone through their course, feels like it's coming to the end. There's a light at the end of the tunnel, but as they usually say, the light at the end of the tunnel is usually a train. Right. But in this case, the light at the end of the tunnel just feels like we're coming out of it on the other side of it. And yeah, this is kind of what we talked about, right, Matt? Like, when this first kind of kicked off, it was like, yeah, this is good that this is happening now. It's getting the players, your main players now. It's good the Bulls are going through this now so they can kind of go into the new year having that same team that we were watching early on and enjoying watching. But again, all this has happened. It sucks for Marco, sucks for Lonzo, you know, and all those guys, man. But again, it hasn't affected team wins to that extent. And the fact it's happening early, those are good things.
Yeah, it's interesting. So Ersan Ilyasova, who was another one of the Bulls, you know, we need bodies signing from a few days back, he entered protocols before even seeing the floor. Marco has not seen the floor. He goes into protocols. And like, it's kind of curious to wonder how either of them could have contracted it without seeing the floor, because we heard that the Atlanta Hawks had several more players placed into protocols the morning after the first of these mini series games between the Bulls and the Hawks, including Bogdanovich and Yang, who played significant minutes, Malik Ellison being the third who entered protocols. But Bogdanovich and Yang both saw the floor. So, okay, they're on the floor. They get it, whatever, they transfer it. But that's just, I guess, how contagious this is. But so I guess in a sense, assuming this Bulls Hawks part two game does go ahead and play Wednesday night, it gives the Bulls yet another leg up, because that's 63 combined minutes between Bogdanovich and Yang that won't be there for the Hawks and Nate McMillan tonight.
Yeah, and Bogdanovich is a big, big key for that team. You know, we saw it when they played against the Bulls,
right?
How important he was. You saw lethal it all last shooter. Year. Yeah, very lethal. But you definitely saw it last year in the playoffs. Like, he was arguably their second best player, right behind Trae Young. He was amazing for that team, and he carried it over into this season. So he's definitely going to be missed. And Yang was an important piece because, you know, of all the other bodies that had been down. And he was an important piece out there as far as playing those minutes, you know, at the five, cheating at the four, you know, and doing things like that. And having a solid 3-point shot, because I believe he's like a 36% shooter from three. So, yeah, it's going to hurt. Like, and that's what this is going to do. That's why going through all this stuff is going to suck for all these teams, because you're losing key pieces and key players. But I think the positive thing about it, Matt, is, you know, like you said earlier, like, it hasn't been terrible symptoms for these guys. You know, it's been mild symptoms for a lot of these players. And so that's the good thing about it. You saw Trae Young, as soon as he tested positive, he was back in the game. You know what I mean? So that lets you know he wasn't having major, you know what I'm saying, hard symptoms. And he was still looking like Trae Young. So, yeah, man, like, those, that's the positive I have to look at when I see this. But in the term of right now, you know what I'm saying, of what we're doing right now, yeah, it completely sucks for that team. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's tough. And look, maybe the Bulls caught a little bit of a break in the fact that they postponed a few games when they were in dire straits and very shorthanded before the league started making this rule adjustment to be able to call up several replacement players. And I think that that's been kind of a big talking point among NBA Twitter people over the last couple of weeks. But hey, the Bulls will have to make up those games at some point. So maybe you benefit now, but you won't benefit when you got to add another back-to-back or another four games in 5 nights, you know, down the stretch of the season, especially, you know, in that stretch when people are fighting for seeding. As far as the second game of this miniseries tonight, Big Dave, what do you want to see the Bulls do a better job of? Because I could think of a couple of things. For me, you can't have that big of a free throw disparity. And you know, maybe it was playing in Atlanta and Trae Young doing Trae Young things. He was 12 of 12 from the free throw line in this first matchup. I think the free throw disparity overall was like, you know, 20 something to 10 in favor of Atlanta. But the other thing to me is Trae Young is Trae Young, and he's hard to stop. You got to find a way to do a better job containing Cam Reddish, who absolutely exploded. And I mean, do you expect him to go 8 of 13 from behind the 3-point line again in consecutive games? Maybe not, but what do you do if you're Chris Fleming to try and, you know, keep Reddish from having another 30 burger tonight?
I think the main thing is, Matt, one, stop leaving him open. How about we stop that? That's a simple thing, right? I mean, a lot of those shots, especially in that fourth quarter and some of that third, were wide open. You know, like, he was just open, like, alone, like Trae, and credit to Trae Young, you know, for being awesome, because when he cuts to the lane, you know, the defense collapsed on him and he would find the open man and kick it out. And it was Cam Reddish. But that's the main thing for me, is a lot of his shots were open and were uncontested. Now, if he's hitting those shots with a man's hand in his face, I mean, you know, you tip your cap to him. There's nothing you could do about that. But, man, you got to make it a little tough for him out there, because he was getting a free run at that. Now, with Bogdanovich being out, I think that obviously that's going to help the Bulls and help their defense and how they play it on Cam Reddish. But Cam Reddish has been awesome. You know what I'm saying? Not just against the Bulls, man. He's been awesome these past few games, and he's definitely been on a hot streak, but you've got to get your hand up. You know what I'm saying? You can't leave him. If Trae Young's going to go to the bucket, we're going to have to trust our defense that's there to provide that defense to stop Trae Young, you know, or at least, you know, slow him down just a tad. But you can't leave him wide open when he was clearly the one with the hottest hand and almost carried that team to that victory for sure.
Yeah, in the Hawks' last 10 games, Cam Reddish shooting 41.2% from behind the 3-point line. Get this, Big Dave. In his career against the Bulls, I just saw this. Cam Reddish's career against the Bulls shooting 61.5% from behind the 3-point line. What the heck is that? What the heck is that?
Wow, dude. That's a video game glitch right there, man. Wow, dude. Like, he's on complete fire, man. But yeah, we just got to get a hand up. But if he's going to continue to be that hot with a hand in his face, or, you know, make him work coming off those screens, you know what I'm saying? Like, because the Bulls have done a really great job this season of getting over screens, you know, and doing things like that. But you also see, you know, we're missing Alex Caruso. That's another part of that, because I'm sure Caruso would be the first person on Cam Reddish if he was out there. But he's not available to us now. But they have more than enough to provide some kind of defense to at least have a man with a hand in Cam Reddish's face.
Yeah. Oh, so actually check that. That was just against the Bulls this season. So that game. So he's still that's ridiculous. Not career. But still, I mean, as you said, he's been playing well. He had a 34-point game against Orlando a few days before Christmas, 18 and then 10 against the Sixers and Knicks, and then 33 against the Bulls in the first of these couple of games. So obviously a big ask, but you got to do a better job containing Cam Reddish tonight. And if you could do that, you should be in good position if you're the Bulls to get yet another win, your fifth straight, because as we mentioned, Bogdanovich played 41 minutes in that starting lineup for the Hawks on Monday. And Dieng led the bench for Atlanta in both minutes with 22 and points with 12. So the shorthanded Hawks get even more shorthanded as the Bulls try to sweep this mini series on Wednesday night. Okay, we also wanted to talk about DeMar DeRozan's appearance on the Knuckleheads podcast. We will get to that in just a minute. But first, Big Dave, tell the people how they can maybe save a little bit of money after this expensive holiday season with a little thing called Truebill.
Oh, you tried to save money, didn't you? I know what you did. You went online and they said, if you sign up and for this 2-week trial, you'll save $20 on this gift that you want to get. And guess what? You did that to about 10 of those sites. I know you did. I'm looking at you. I'm not judging you. You were trying to save money and be the awesome parent or awesome friend or awesome lover that you are. But here, let me throw you something to help you out. Here's your gift, and it's called Truebill. Truebill is the new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscription that you don't want, you don't need, or you simply forgot about. On an average, people save up to $720 a year. Don't you want to do that? I think you do, because companies make subscriptions hard to cancel now. Truebill makes it incredibly simple. Just link your accounts to Truebill and they will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in one tap. And Truebill's concierge is there when you need them to cancel those unwanted subscriptions so you don't have to. So don't fall for those scams, y'all. Don't do it. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Go right now to Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA, and it could save you thousands a year. That's Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA.
All right, moving along here on our Wednesday episode of Locked On Bulls, Matt with my guy, Big Dave. DeMar DeRozan has been making a lot of podcast appearances over the last 6 months or so since he joined the Bulls in his free agency. And it's just been awesome to hear so many different thoughts from DeMar spanning not just his entire career, but his entire life. And his latest appearance was the Knuckleheads podcast hosted by Quentin Richardson, Q Rich, and Darius Miles, a couple of former teammates from some of those fun Clippers teams in the early 2000s. Q Rich, of course, a big part of a pretty epic DePaul team in Chicago in his collegiate career. They covered a lot of ground in this interview that lasted almost an hour and a half, Big David. If you haven't listened to this podcast episode with DeMar, definitely go listen to it after you listen to us. And also just in general, can't recommend that podcast enough, Big Dave.
It's a great podcast, man. I'm not a guy who listens to a ton of them, but that's definitely one that I do listen to, man. It's great. It's really good. The way they cover not just the sports, but also the cultural aspects, and they get you get personal also with them as well. Like, it seems like guys are just more comfortable. And we learned that while listening to CJ McCollum's podcast, right, Matt, that players are just more comfortable talking to players. Right. You know what I'm saying? It's just what it is. And these two guys really do a great job. Darius Miles and Q really do a great job.
CJ McCollum's podcast is called The Pull Up, right?
Yeah.
So, yes. I mean, is there a more perfect guest for that podcast than the king of the pull-up mid-range jump shot, DeMar DeRozan? Knuckleheads, I love Q Rich and Darius, and they've got great chemistry. They have a different vibe. DeMar, no knuckleheadedness with him and his game this season. Where do you want to start, Big Dave? Because I know you had some thoughts on maybe where they began with this podcast, a question that they ask all of their guests.
Yeah, it's my favorite question that they ask. Like, who was the first player in the league to bust your ass when you got to the league. And I loved his answers because he gave two. One was an obvious answer for me, which was Dwayne Wade. Like, D-Wade whooped a lot of people like in his career. All right, it's what happens. But the other one I loved even more, and that was Brandon Roy. Oh. Because Brandon Roy was one of those guys, Matt, for me, and I'm talking tragically. For me, it was like Derrick Rose or it was like Grant Hill.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It was like when you lost him, or even Michael Redd, if you want to put Michael Redd in there as well. But it was like that to me, man. Like, I was just that upset, and it was that tragic to me because he was awesome, all right? He had barely any flaws. You know, he had the size, he had the speed, he had the athleticism, and most importantly, he had that shot, and he was clutch. He won so many games for them in that fourth quarter, man. He was on some Dame stuff before Dame. You know what I mean? Like, Brandon Roy was just the absolute truth, man. So it was really sad to see that happen to him, but I love the fact that they spent some time giving him his flowers, deservedly so, because he was just a really awesome basketball player.
I mean, three consecutive All-Star appearances from 2008 to 2010, averaged 22.5 points per game, along with 5 assists in that 2008-2009 season. Definitely on my list of players in this era, you know, 2000 and onwards, who it was just so frustrating to see their career end unfairly early due to injury. Because, man, you know, obviously Dame is the face of that Blazers franchise, you know, right now. And I know Blazers fans had their, you know, their hearts punched with the failure of the Greg Oden draft pick because of injuries with his, you know, with his shortened career. But God, Brandon Roy was so fun to watch, man. It was really cool because, like you said, like, that's not an answer you would necessarily expect.
And it should be. It should be a normal one too. And I mean, also two-time All-NBA as well. I mean, he was just everything, man. And you just loved watching him, and you couldn't help but root for him. I don't know what it was, but you just wanted to root for Brandon Roy when you watched him, man. And because he was just a sharp shooter and just a great player, man. He didn't cheat the game. But yeah, having those knee injuries really hurt. I believe he's coaching now. He's had success being a coach and everything now. That's what he's on. But yeah, man, shout out to Brandon Roy, man. Like, he was really, truly an awesome player.
Brandon Roy, currently a coach for the Garfield High School team in Seattle.
Shout out.
So another one of the fun sort of like early life, early career questions that they asked DeMar DeRozan, and an answer that I loved, was like, who did you know when you were young and playing that you saw play or played against that you were like, oh wow, that, like, that guy's gonna be good, that guy's already good, and he's going to the NBA for sure. And he said Drew Holiday. He was like, I watched Drew Holiday play when he was young, and I was like, wow, just, you know, in awe of Drew Holiday's abilities. And I don't know about you, Big Dave, but when I heard that answer, my brain immediately went to one thought and one thought only: a potential Bucks Bulls playoff series this spring.
Oh, wow. That's a heck of a thought, Matt.
Right? I know I'm maybe taking a big leap there, but
no, I don't think you are. I'm just saying that's a thought I wasn't even thinking on, that you just put in my head. Ooh, a Bucks Bulls matchup. Cause then if the Bucks and Bulls are going to be match up, that's either a second or third round matchup.
I was going to say that's either conference semis or conference finals.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Ooh, go ahead, Peck. I like it.
I couldn't help myself, but I mean, yeah. I've always thought that Drew Holiday, like, I loved that move when the Bucks got Holiday. And a lot of the things that DeMar was describing in Holiday's game that he noticed from such a younger stage in his career are very much there. And Holiday kind of had, you know, a mediocre NBA career for a long time, just was like on good teams, but teams that weren't quite good enough. And similarly, and this is the other part of this that I thought was interesting, similarly to a lot of the people who panned DeMar coming to the Bulls and saying, they're paying him too much money, they gave up too much to get him, he's not going to improve the team all that much, I think a fair amount of people, or a large amount of people, said the same thing about the Bucks kind of going all in to get Drew Holiday. And what happened? They won a championship.
Yeah, because he wasn't the sexy name. You know, guys get lost in kind of the sexiness of the NBA sometimes, and right. they want the sexy name. And Jrue Holiday wasn't the sexy name, but he's a great, efficient basketball player on both ends of the floor. You know, what I liked about also when he gave that answer was he said the way that he is in the league now is the exact same way he was then. Mm-hmm. And when he said that, my mind just started racing. And I said, how frustrating and upsetting it had to be to play against that as a high school student. You know, when the dude is whooping your behind offensively and then on the defensive end is locking you up. And just like he said, I love how he said he was just, you weren't there. When he played against you, you weren't there. He looked right through you. You were not there. He was not focused on you. He was focused on the task at hand. What a thing to say about somebody in high school to have that kind of focus, because he still has that now. He really does still have that kind of focus now in the NBA. But man, dude, that had to be just absolutely frustrating to deal with in high school, just in front of all your friends and family. This dude is just clamping you up and then dropping 35 on you. Like, that had to be upsetting, for real.
Yeah. And when you kind of look at Drew's transition to Milwaukee, DeMar's transition to Chicago, and the way that those, you know, moves were graded, it was a 4-team deal that got the Bucks Jrue Holiday. In that deal, they gave up Bledsoe, George Hill, 3 future firsts, and 2 additional draft pick swaps. And people were like, wow, that's a lot to give up for Jrue Holiday. But again, he was the missing piece that helped Giannis finally get over the hump and win a championship. What do the Bulls give up to get DeMar in that sign-in trade? Less than that. Significantly mm-hmm. less than that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
squares and ketchup.
I'm not saying that DeMar and the Bulls are where, you know, Holiday and the Bucks are now and proving that deal was 100% worth it. Because in addition to all that they gave up, they paid Jrue Holiday that big old contract that he was on. Holiday was on a max. And they, you know, they said, okay, we'll pay you that max contract. We'll give up all these pieces. You're the piece we need. The Bulls front office made a similar, you know, swing with DeMar DeRozan. A lot of people said, pasha. But it's cool that DeMar kind of gave that answer about Holiday, because there's a pretty interesting similarity in the arc of their careers right where they are now.
You're right about that, man. And you're right. Like, you know what? You saying that about the matchup, now I'm thinking about it now, because I'm like, ooh, DeMar going up against Jrue Holiday.
I mean,
you know
on.
What I'm saying? Oh, man, that would be, because that's exactly who he's going to guard, you know?
Right.
And when he gets in that post and try to run those moves, that's just who he's going to be guarding. He's going to be guarding DeMar DeRozan in the fourth quarter. And, you know, Middleton is going to be on Zach LaVine.
Right.
Like, oh, man. And both. Oh, God, that's gonna, that's
I know.
Gonna be something, man. That's
now,
be something.
Now I just want it. I want it. Now we need Bulls Bucks. We need Bulls Bucks the playoffs. Okay, let's touch on a few of DeMar's thoughts about this latest chapter of his NBA career joining the Bulls in just a second. But first, today's episode brought to you by Bet Online, which has you covered this holiday season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Football continues its march through the college bowl season and the pro football playoffs. There's bowl games all over the place on deck. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. So head to their website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on that first deposit. Just use promo code LOCKEDON to receive that welcome bonus. Basketball, football, NHL, boxing, UFC, even your favorite Vegas casino games. They've got it all. So don't wait to take advantage on all of the amazing offers available for the 2021-22 season. Maybe put a little money on the Bulls to cover tonight. If the Hawks are that shorthanded, might make you a little scratch. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports favorites. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers. Bet online, where the game starts.
You know what it's time for. You know what it is, y'all. We here to talk about one thing and one thing only, and that is the Zach Gilford approved built bars. You know you need them. You know you want them. And why do you want them? Because they're delicious. Why do you need them? Because they are healthy. Built bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. That's the deliciousness of it. But then here goes the healthy. 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, 17 grams of protein. You know what? Compare that with a candy bar. All right. Candy bar got like 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. And you're going to go to sleep. It ain't going to help you out. All right. But Built Bar is here to help you. And even more so to here to help you, they got that flavor of the month. Matthew Peck, can you please tell them what the flavor of the month is for Built Bar, sir?
Oh, well, we got two brand new ones, and they are the puff variety. If you like those Built Bars with marshmallows in them, it's Ruby Chocolate Puff Built Bar and a Lemon Dipped Cheesecake Puff Built Bar. Come on now.
Shut up! Lemon Dipped Cheesecake? Oh, that just made the toe shoot up in my shoe. That is amazing. So this is what you do. You go to Built.com. You use this promo code right here, LOCKED15. Use that. It will get you 15% off of your order. That is LOCKED15 to get 15% off of your order at Built.com. Built Bar, start the new year right.
Rolling along on Locked On Bulls, talking about DeMar DeRozan's appearance on the Knuckleheads podcast from just a day or so ago. Big Dave, what was the biggest takeaway for you? What was the biggest curiosity, interesting answer, surprising answer when the guy started asking DeMar about his short time in Chicago thus far?
That he loves the city. That was my favorite one. Like, he's like, you know what was great about that question is you could hear the excitement in Quentin Richardson. Immediately, mm-hmm. like when he started asking, because obviously Quentin is from here, and you know, Darius Miles is from East Saint, you know, which is basically, you know,
right,
Chicago. If you want to be real about it, you know, it's a stone's throw. You know what I'm saying? It's like Gary, Indiana, kind of thing. You know what right. I'm saying? It's right there, stone's throw.
Shout out to Jamal from Gary, Indiana.
Shout out Jamal from Gary, yes sir. But yeah, man, it was just great to hear the excitement in both of their voices, and Quentin Richardson was trying to hold it back because he was like, "Well, I do work for the Magic." You know what I'm saying? It's like, but you know, I like this team, you know, because you're repping for my city. You know what I'm saying? Shy City. I'm repping for the city. But I love DeMar coming in saying two things, Matt. How much he loved the city, and then saying, man, what would it be like to win in Chicago? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. When he said that, man, I was like, oh, he gets it. He understands. And that for me kind of destroys a lot of those old arguments. Oh, a lot of those old things that might have been true about players not wanting to come here because they didn't want to play in the shadow of Michael Jordan or do right. anything like that. No. We basketball up here. You know what I'm saying? We trying to win. And winning in Chicago, oh my gosh, it's nothing like it. Ask the Cubs. You know what I'm saying? Right. Ask the White Sox.
Right.
There's nothing like it when you win in Chicago. Ask the Blackhawks. It's nothing like it, yo. You are set. You probably never pay for another meal again. All right, that's just how that stuff goes. But the Chicago Bulls and winning here and him understanding what it is to win in the city, but also understanding what the Bulls are globally. You know what I'm saying? Because winning in Chicago in the Bulls uniform doesn't just get you love here. It's going to get you love globally also, man. So I think he understands all of that and what it's like to play for Chicago. You know, in these short amount, 30 plus games that he's played here, you got to feel that kind of love, you know? Right. And I think that inspires him and makes him want, you know, to do more. Cause I can't wait for him to also feel, and I know he felt this in Toronto, Matt, what it's like, cause he talked about it, what it's like to play in that stadium, especially, you know, in the playoffs and how rowdy and loud those fans are. Wait till he experiences what it's like to play in the United Center for a playoff game and how insane that is going to be. I can't wait for him to feel that, man. And I'm just excited that he wants to bring a championship here.
Yeah. I mean, it is a big thing that somebody someday, and hopefully sooner than later, will accomplish being the person, whether it's, you know, the player that leads the team, the group of players that lead the team, the coach, the front office that make the Chicago Bulls NBA champions again. And it's a significant amount of time now. 98? Turns out that was a while ago. And, you know, Jerry Krause certainly failed in his 5 years attempting to rebuild the team until being, you know, until a mutual exit in 2003. John Paxson, to his credit, did a decent job and maybe got a little bit of luck, certainly the less than 2% luck to land Derrick Rose in that 2008 draft to build another contender. And like Big Dave, I still remember, and I'm sure you do too, that night in 2011 when they brought back most of the 91 Chicago Bulls championship team, the 20th anniversary of the franchise's first championship. And MJ was there and he was saying, you know, you take a look at this squad you guys got right now. And D Rose and Joakim are watching this all unfold from the Bulls bench. And MJ saying, don't be surprised if y'all got more championships on the way. And you could just see it in the eyes of those young guys who so badly wanted to be the players that brought the Bulls back to the NBA mountaintop. Yeah. Obviously, because of Derek's injury, that didn't work out. Because of LeBron James, that didn't work out.
Yeah.
And really, the Bulls haven't gotten even remotely close since. But how big, and there were other, like, maybe it happens if Kobe Bryant gets that trade to the Bulls in 2006. Maybe it happens if the big three of Wade, Bron, and Bosh come to the Bulls in 2010. But all of these near but not quite, all of these almosts, it still hasn't happened. Somebody's going to do it. And the fact that that means something to DeMar DeRozan, who, by the way, is still chasing his first championship as an NBA player.
Yeah.
The fact that it would mean something to him to do it from Chicago when he really has no ties to the city of Chicago.
Right. But exactly.
I think he understands how big it is as a concept to not just Bulls fans in Chicago and Bulls fans everywhere, but how big of a deal it would be for the NBA lore attached to it of I'm the guy who led the Bulls to their first title since MJ.
I know he wants that. And the fact that he's not shying away from that says a lot about him. And honestly, that's a lot of Kobe in him as well, because, you know, he loves Kobe Bryant. And that's a very Kobe thing to say, because Kobe didn't give a damn about shadows. You know what I'm saying? Like, he didn't care about none of that. He's like, I am the shadow. You know what I'm saying? That's how Kobe felt. Like, I'm the man. Whatever. We about to come in here and win.
I hope you're not to bust out Stacey's bad Bane impression when we're talking about being living in the shadows.
I was born in the darkness. Like, no, I'll leave that to Stacey. Who we get to see tonight? Who we get to hear tonight also, by the
welcome way? Welcome back, Stacey.
Welcome back, baby. Him and Adam Levine on the call tonight. But yeah, man, like, it means something to him. And you know it means something to Zach LaVine to want to win here. And just the fact those guys are on the same page, just the fact the entire team is on the same page. You start, you know, you try, at least me, Matt, I try not to let my mind wander to those kind of thoughts and those kind of situations, because I'm very much on a take it game by game kind of thing and just being in the moment of this, because I haven't seen this in so long. So I'm more so focused on just being in the moment of every single game than I was when the Bulls were winning championships, where I didn't care as much about the regular season. I was just like, all right, let's just get to the playoffs so we can, you know, get this going on. But now I'm just very in the moment, very just enjoying it game by game. But yeah, man, like, it's just great that that's on his mind and that's on the team's mind. As they keep saying, and I heard Zach say this in a post interview after Atlanta game when he was on NBA TV, you know, they're building championship habits, because that's a Billy Donovan term.
Yes.
And they keep saying that, like, you keep hearing Zach say that, you keep hearing DeMar say that. These guys are really mean that when they say they're trying to build championship habits. And this is what they kind of mean by that. You know what I'm saying? DeMar knows what it would mean to win a title here in Chicago, man. And they're building towards that every day.
Yeah. I did catch that NBA TV postgame interview from Zach, and it's great. You know, he's got a couple of new commercials out now too. You're starting to see Zach LaVine finally get that level of notoriety and respect that he's earned with his play in his, you know, extracurriculars off the court, which is awesome. But I got to say, I don't like the fact that it seems like Zach LaVine and Isaiah Thomas are like becoming BFFs. I as a Bulls fan, I cannot make my peace with that. That just seems wrong, doesn't it? We can't have Bulls all-star Zach LaVine getting all cuddly with the enemy. To hell with Isaiah Thomas.
Matt, if you can forgive Dennis Rodman, you can forgive Isaiah Thomas.
Oh, did Isaiah Thomas help us win three championships? I didn't think so. He did not,
but Isaiah is Chicago. Isaiah is from the west side of the city.
You
got to give him some love on that. I get you. Trust me, I understand. You know what I'm saying? Like, I understand. Everybody's got their player from that Pistons team they just can't stand. My older brother does not feel the way you feel about Dennis Rodman. He still holds grudges about Dennis Rodman. All right.
Yeah.
So
and I understand that, because, you know, older brother, you're older than me. So he clearly remembers the entirety of the Bad Boy Pistons and all the awful things they did. You know, I only have little splotches of memory from the Bulls early, you know, Bad Boys days, the first three-peat. I mostly remember Rodman as amazing Bull, wild entertainer, won us three championships. So I get that. But I'm sorry, Isaiah Thomas, because you know what Dennis Rodman has done after retiring from basketball? He's done a lot of different weird shit. He went and made friends with a North Korean dictator. That's kind of weird. Not super cool. But what he hasn't done is continue, like Isaiah Thomas has continued, to just be so bitter and salty and mean about every opportunity to just degrade what the Bulls accomplished.
What I love
I had
how-
met the criteria. Get out of here, man.
I love how Matt is like, yeah, he made friends with a North Korean dictator, but this dude is still salty about the team.
Yes.
That is the best. That is the absolute best. But yo, Matt, you know something else I loved about this interview? One thing I wanted to say about it was when they came to the moment when they talked about him signing his max contract and signing that 137 million, I think they said at the time. And the honesty of DeMar DeRozan of when he had the conversation with his agent, of when his agent told him how much it was originally. And he saw it and he was like, cool, let's sign this. And his agent was like, no, we got to get you more. And how he was like, what? What do you mean? Don't sign this. Are you out of your mind? And then told him exactly what most people would say. Hey, man, do not mess this up. All right. Like, do not mess this up for me. Well, I've got to take less. I've never seen this much money in my life. I love that honesty, because you might hear a player say, you know, well, you know, I let my agent handle it. You know what I'm saying? I didn't really, you know, worry about those things.
Right.
Now, DeMar was like, no, man, if it was me, I would have signed it as soon as they showed that to me. Like, deal immediately. So shout out to the agents for getting him what he needed, man. But shout out to DeMar for continuing to be super honest every time he speaks.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you haven't listened to that DeMar DeRozan interview on the Knuckleheads podcast with Q Rich and Darius Miles, go listen to it. It's a great listen through and through. The latest opportunity for Bulls fans to get to know their new star player a little bit better. That's it for today. And I think that'll be it for the week. We're going to wrap up 2021 with this episode. Shout out to everybody out there who's been listening to us all year. It's been a great year for the Bulls. Obviously the first half of 2021 was rough, but how fun was the second half of 2021? Appreciate all of you for always riding with us here at Locked On Bulls. Me and my guy Big Dave will have plenty more fun for you on deck in 2022. So Big Dave, any final words for Locked On Bulls 2021?
Yeah. Honestly, I want to thank the Locked On Bulls listeners for accepting me, as you all have done, because you didn't have to. But you all have just been nothing but kind and nothing but nice to me and honest with me, as how you all feel about me. And I really do appreciate that. And I hope you all know that. And I hope I show that. And how I speak about this team and how I speak about Matt and how I talk to you guys on Twitter. Like, I am really appreciative of all the kind things and the fact that you all have really accepted me into this fold. And yeah, I hope I continue to just get better and hope I continue to do it with my man Matt in 2022. Let's keep going.
One of the greatest gifts of 2021 for me was bringing my guy Big Dave on as my new co-host. Love and respect to my guy Jordan Malley, who, you know,
yes,
has done so much for this pod over the years with me. Was sad to see him go, but bringing Big Dave in was the only right way to move forward. Much love to all of you out there at Bulls Nation. Thanks for bearing with us the last, you know, couple weeks. I know we took a couple days off last week around Christmas holiday. We're going to take a couple more days off to finish out this week for the New Year's holiday, but we'll be back and fresh, including our regular episodes back up on YouTube like normal starting the week following New Year's Day. So for Big Dave, Matt, signing off the final time in 2021, Bulls Nation, have a safe and happy New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. We'll talk to y'all in 2022. See Red be good.